Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Michael Dr. Stu Stewart. I think I forgot to say my name. I'm James Kemp. He's Stu. Stu, what's up?
Hey, what's up, James? Because your name is James and you don't forget to announce that your name is James. It's going well. It is Thursday. It's been brutally hot here in central Indiana. And by brutally hot, I mean it's been like 92. Been very stormy as well, which is interesting. It's pretty hot, and then it just starts to storm at night, and then it gets really cold. Work was work. I'm happy to be talking about football. We're ready to talk about a couple other teams in the AFC North, but first, I want to know how you are doing this evening, James. You're buttoning down the hatches for the ore storm as well, right?
Yeah, ditto on the heat and the storms. We got pounded pretty hard by a couple of them last night, and the one coming through today should be even more extreme than that, but hopefully it holds off for another hour and a half or so, and we can get all this in, and I can get this recorded, and we can have all of our fantasy foot beer goodness ready for you good people. So, Stu, with that, let's waste no time. What are you drinking tonight, my friend?
First off, I hope nobody clips that part where you talked about how the storms were pounding you, the couple of storms were pounding you. But tonight is my last of the sampler package that you got for me a month or so ago from Sturdy Shelter Brewing. This is Batavia, the Helles-style lager. So this is the last one. I'm really excited for it. Do like Helles. You probably know more about it than I do. 5.5% ABV. Should be fun. What are you drinking tonight, James?
So this past weekend, Kelsey and I went up to Wisconsin for my niece's baptism. And on the way, we stopped in Rockford, Illinois, and stopped at a brewery called Pig Mines Brewing. They got a cool logo, and it's a nice place. But one of the beers we did not try in the tap room, but we wanted to, was a beer called Happy Days Blueberry Blonde Ale. And that's what I'm drinking here tonight. The reason why Kelsey wanted me to try this one is because in the actual tap room, they talk a lot about it being one of their most popular beers. And they pour frozen blueberries into your beer with it because it is a blueberry blonde ale. So let's go ahead and crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. And this time it didn't explode on my mic, but it did explode all over my face. So
that's okay. You can wash your face easier than a microphone.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I do have the frozen blueberries here to go in my beer, so that's nice. Do you like blueberries?
I like blueberries fine, but I've never had them in beer, that's for sure.
Well, I'll let you know how it is.
I hope you do.
Getting going here, we've got a little bit of news here. Nothing super crazy, a couple contract extensions, and then a will they, won't they in L.A. The first thing we've got on our list is Patty Mahomes restructuring his contract again. The most interesting part, I believe, is that it adds 2 years to his contract, so he's going to be stuck in Kansas City until 2034, where he will be the ripe old age of 39. So I don't know how you feel about this, Stu. I mean, I think the average person would look at any contract that the Chiefs sign with Patrick Mahomes and will be like, yeah, sure, give him all the money in the world. And this kind of makes it, I believe, a little bit easier to add support for him around there. But I remember thinking about like the 10-year contract that he initially signed. I think it was a 10-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back, like, yeah, everybody's going to say now that it's super smart to lock down the best quarterback in the league for his entire career, but I don't know of any super long-term sports contract that ends up aging well. But this one seems like it probably will, unless Mahomes just goes super downhill in injuries and performance. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll have to see how he comes back from his ligament tear, but we're going until the wheels fall off. Like, it hasn't gone sour yet. I don't personally expect it to. I'm totally cool with it. I'm glad that he's going to be a chief for all the... I mean, just franchise players are a cool thing to have in sports. And he's an excellent player, one of the best of all time. And we get to enjoy it some more. So I got no issues with it. The one that I do get kind of annoyed by is the Broncos. They've extended Sean Payton. I've never been a huge fan of Sean Payton. So I get to see his face for another 5 years. And that's really all I have to say about that one.
Do you think he lasts the full 5 years?
I'm gonna say yeah. I'm gonna say yes. Okay. They're good enough that he'll get enough, you know, well, probably good enough to get enough goodwill to last the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, he got them to within a night, Jarrett Stidham of a Super Bowl, so gotta give him something for that. The other thing we have, unless you've got other news that I didn't think of, Stu. According to Adam Schefter, Aaron Donald is more likely than not to unretire and rejoin the LA Rams. Although, with the caveat, Adam Schefter said in the same breath that nobody actually said that. He is just guessing on it. So,
oh, wow. Okay. That's news.
I mean,
thanks, Adam.
I'm not sure why he would say that, knowing who he is and what he knows. I am seeing no one else saying that, more that he's still ruminating on it and thinking about it. But either way, this is now the second week in a row we're talking about Aaron Donald potentially unretiring to play with Myles Garrett. I don't know. I don't think he does it.
It'll be what it'll be. I'm sure he'll come back, but I'm not going to disagree with Mr. Schefter. I do hold that same opinion. I just get way less publicity for saying that opinion.
I think he is going to, at his house, put on some cleats, go into the backyard, and be like, yeah, I could do this. And then he cuts a little bit, and he feels his 35-year-old knees, and he's like, ah, I got a nice couch, though. So... that's my thought on that. He doesn't need that much more money.
He's really 35.
But anyway,
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. But today, let's go ahead and get into our AFC North breakdown part two. Talking today about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think we should talk about the Bengals first because they are pretty assuredly going to be the more fantasy relevant team here. And I would like to start with Joe Burrow. So I'm seeing him as the QB4 currently in consensus rankings. And I feel a little, well, I mean, with all the top quarterbacks this year outside of like Josh Allen, there's not a whole lot of consensus on who goes where, mostly because we saw guys like Lamar Jackson falter last season. Patrick Mahomes got hurt and is questionable to start the season healthy. Other guys who we've seen consistently be good were disappointing. There's a good crop of young guns coming up. And then there was Joe Burrow, who only played at the very beginning and the very end of the season. And when he played, he was really solid, but in those just eight games played, he was the QB29 overall. So people are a little bit worried about his injury history. It is a history thing now. He still remains one of the best passers in the NFL, if not the best passer in the NFL. His mobility was never really his strong suit, but he can still scramble when he needs to, and hopefully... the Bengals have learned how to protect him, although I'm not sure they have. So, with Joe Burrow at the QB4, I'm seeing him going in the fourth round. In other mocks I've done, I've seen him fall to the fifth. I've even seen him go in the sixth. I love Joe Burrow as a player. I think his ceiling is QB1. I think his floor is, as it was last year, QB29. So, I'm a little bit worried about taking Joe Burrow that early. I'm worried about taking any quarterback in the fourth round. That seems crazy to me. Sixth round is probably more where I'd be aiming. Stu, what do you think about Joe Cool?
I do agree on a lot of these counts. I mean, just based on history alone, you're flipping a coin whether he's going to play the full season. He's got six seasons now under his belt. He's played a full season in three and half or less in three of them. So it's, I mean, you can't predict injuries, but he's also 29 years old, which is kind of wild to me. It makes me feel old because I remember him being drafted and thinking he was really young. If he's on the field, he's going to be a top-end QB1, a top six for sure. You just take a little bit of that risk. And I do think in the fourth round, you bake in a little bit of that risk there. I think that's a reasonable price. In certain situations, I would be willing to pay that price because, as you said, the Cincinnati Bengals should be fantasy gold. I mean, they've been very high offensively scoring with poor defensive play for several years now, and that's a great fantasy, you know, recipe. So having him in the fourth feels fine. I don't think I will be super eager to go out and grab him. I mean, there's still the age-old technique where you take Ja'Marr Chase first overall and then you go get Joe Burrow a couple rounds later, because that's going to win you weeks more often probably than not. So there's certain situations that I would look really, really hard at Joe Burrow, but like you said, I mean, we both agree on this. We just generally tend to take our quarterbacks a little bit later. Like, would you rather take Joe Burrow in the fourth or, say, Trevor Lawrence 2 to 3 rounds later? I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars should also be a fantasy recipe for offensive success, or at least on paper it should be. Or maybe Jackson Dart, who's many rounds later and is supposed to be some breakout possible potential at the quarterback position. It makes Joe Cool a little bit less interesting, I guess, for me. He should still, barring injury, be excellent. I don't think you would regret having him on your team. It would be exciting to have him on your team. It's just, it's not one that I'm really looking for, but I could say that a lot about a lot of these top quarterbacks. I mean, outside of Josh Allen, like you said, I mean, Lamar Jackson's got question marks. Burrow, we just mentioned. Jaden Daniels has done it once and then not again. Jalen Hurts just lost his top target. There's a lot of question marks, and I'm not really interested in paying those prices for those question marks.
I'll also say, in mock drafts that I've done, like, auto mocks are always spit out one thing, but then live mocks do another. But I would also kind of encourage people to do manual mock drafts. Draft every team as if you were in their position. And when I've been doing that, I've kind of been seeing, like, there isn't really a place to take more than, like, two quarterbacks in the first five rounds. I see, like, the first real run on quarterbacks happening at the end of the fifth round in 12-team leagues. And I don't really see a place for Joe Burrow to be going in the fourth round. That feels like a massive reach to me. But that is where he's being ranked right now. But that's just my two cents on that. Past that, Stu, you want to talk running backs or receivers next?
Let's talk about running backs, because it's a little more cut and dry. It's Chase Brown or nothing. There's really nothing else that you need to be super concerned about. Samaje Perine and Taj Brooks still remain there, but neither one is going to challenge for anything other than, you know, the scraps. It's Chase Brown's show, and it was the tale of two halves. You know this better than anyone, James. You drafted him last year. He was dreadful in the first quarter to half of last season. And then right after people jump ship, he was amazing. Like, he is everything that you wanted him to be. Right now, in standards, he's going, let me quickly, he's running back 12, so just at the very tail end of RB1s. I like that there for him. I think his ceiling is even higher. Top 8, I think, would be his ceiling. I don't think he goes a little bit higher than that. But as an RB2 target for your fantasy teams, that is gold. I really, really like that. There are several of my own mocks that end up this way, and I'm enjoying how that is all falling into place. It's just that we need it for a whole season. We can't just have it for a half season. But he's one of my favorite players. I have a special place in my heart from 2024's season where I got him off of waivers, and I mean, he's efficient. He needs to score a couple more touchdowns, but averaging 4.4 yards a carry on a team that is still offensively minded should still be very, very good. It all really depends on Joe Burrow's health, as we'll get into, I'm sure, when we talk about Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I like Chase Brown. You should go out and draft Chase Brown. He's currently being valued in the back half of the second round or the very early picks of the third. And I think that's a reasonable place for him. I would probably even, in my own, if I were to do a standard draft, just manual by myself, he would probably go in the mid second. So I'm a little bit higher than him, I think, than consensus. James, anything about your old friend Chase?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I messed up with Chase Brown last year. I think I did draft him in the second round last year, and I sold him right before he took off. And you know what? If I saw him in the second round, I would do it again. I would draft him again, and I would not get rid of him. He was the RB7 in PPR last year, and he's slated to be the RB7 again in current rankings. He seems like a perfect candidate for a hero RB strategy, taking him in the second round. And I'll also say this, he was very effective on the ground, but he could have been a lot more effective around the goal line. He only had 6 rushing touchdowns. He also had another 5 receiving touchdowns for 11 total. But if he ends up getting more touches near the goal line, his ceiling is really quite a bit higher, I think, than what he did last year. And last year was his best season in his 4-year career with the Bengals. So I think he seems like a slam dunk kind of opportunity. As we said, Samaje Perine, Taj Brooks, not going to be contesting. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be extremely, extremely competitive and helpful for your teams. But for fantasy football, probably the sexiest player on the Cincinnati Bengals is, of course, Ja'Marr Chase. He is the wide receiver 1 in consensus rankings for PPR, at least. He is for standard also, right?
Yes, he is.
All right. So last year he played in 16 of the 17 games. He was the wide receiver 4 through that, and with 19.6 points per game, he also kind of suffered with that classic Bengals slow start, which does kind of seem like the Zach Taylor signature. Only 4 games last year did Ja'Marr Chase have less than 10 PPR points, but 3 of those were in weeks 1 through 4. He really was extremely competitive, extremely consistent and reliable, even in the periods after Joe Burrow was hurt, and definitely was a beneficiary of Joe Burrow coming back as well. So if you want to take Ja'Marr Chase as a wide receiver 1, I would slam that. There's really not many true reliable superstar wide receivers in the NFL right now. You may look at Puka, you may look at JSN. You're probably not looking at Justin Jefferson right now, and you're going to look a little bit sideways at CeeDee Lamb with George Pickens being there and how well both of those guys did last year. Ja'Marr Chase seems like the clear-cut wide receiver 1, and he should be gone within the first 3 picks of your draft if he doesn't go number 1 overall. And then there's T. Higgins, but Stu, I'll let you tell me what you think about Ja'Marr before we talk about T, which is a little bit of a confusing story.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit less of a consensus on T. Higgins. I mean, if anybody is arguing against Ja'Marr Chase, I would like to hear it so I can immediately discount it. I mean, last year, played the full season, 125 receptions on 185 targets for 1,400 yards, and that is a regression from his 2024, where he got to play with Joe Burrow the entire... Well, actually, I don't know if that was the entire time. It was the entire time in 2024. So that season, as a top-flight superstar wide receiver, was played with, you know, Joe Flacco. Of course, Joe Flacco was great in the Bengals uniform and it's exactly what they needed after whatever his name is. His name was like Drew. I don't know. I don't remember what that Drew Benning. I don't know. Whoever came in first for Joe Burrow and then wasn't very good, and they got Joe Flacco. I mean, this is a season with less than average for them quarterback play. If Joe Burrow's healthy, he's going to be even better than he was last year, and there's just nothing else to say. Like, he's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his life. He should do it again, and you should all be happy to have him on your teams and tune into every single Bengals game because you're going to have a good time. Just, you know, highly consider that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase stack that I mentioned earlier. But James, T. Higgins is the interesting one, as you mentioned. Right now in standard leagues, he is going as, I believe, the wide receiver 18. No, not 18, something like that.
He's 18 in PPR.
Oh, he's 13. He's 13 on this list for standard, and that is crazy to me. You should not be taking the clear 2 target on a team that early. I have been out on T. Higgins for, it feels like 4 years now. He's got his own injury history. There is a true alpha in that offense. I'm not spending high draft capital getting the second dog to the bull, you know. I don't even know if I have that much to say about it. He played almost an entire season last year. He only missed 2 games, and he didn't top 60 receptions. He didn't top 100 targets. Like, what are we doing here? Why is he so high? I don't understand it. There's no reason in my mind to think that he's going to return on draft capital where he's going. I mean, he's going as the wide receiver, you said 18 in PPR, somewhere around the third or the fourth round. No, like, there's other places I'll be looking than T. Higgins, James. Do you have anything for him, or are you also against?
So I've been thinking a lot about T. Higgins, and I've come up with a term that I think we should give to statisticians and psychologists and have them collaborate on studying. And I'm calling it positional regression disillusion syndrome. So T. Higgins was the wide receiver 15 in PPR last year, which is a decently high wide receiver 2. And when I think of T. Higgins and I see him going in the third round, you and I both agree that that is too high. I see him fall to the fourth round. It's a little bit more palatable, but there's probably other ways I would like to spend that. Him being a clear-cut wide receiver 2, despite having probably the best passer in the league, it could go either way. He only played 15 games, which, I mean, missing 2 games is not insane, but he was 14.1 points per game. Granted, that's bolstered by 2 games, one of them the 30s, another in the 20s. And I think he actually had another really big one late in the season where he burst off for even more. But one of the things that, but let's not like too much of T. Higgins' horn here. One of the big reasons why he got that high in the rankings was because he had a career high in touchdowns. He had 11 of them. Despite having the second lowest career targets and receptions and yards per game in his career. So this was not as good a season for T. Higgins as the rankings point out. And that's why always when you look at those rankings, you have to also look at the game logs to see what kind of consistency they have. You can have the wide receiver 1 who scored 80 points in a single game and then lose every game because he only had 1 catch in all of the others. So I agree with you, Stu. He is not third round material. I would consider him in the fourth round. I'd like him in the fifth round, but he's not going to go that far down, I don't think. But then past that, you got Andre Yoshivas, who was kind of on and off of waivers last year. Seemed like he could perform at times, but really didn't. And then the Bengals drafted in the fourth round Colby Young from Georgia, who I don't expect much this season. And I think that's about it for the Bengals, mm-hmm. unless you want to talk about Mike Gesicki having a comeback season.
No, last year was his year for a comeback season, and it didn't happen, so I'm not really super interested, other than him being a dart throw, just in case he catches a touchdown sort of play on a week-to-week basis.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Steelers.
On to Pittsburgh we go. This one a little less sexy than what we got in Cincinnati. So they are helmed in what will be Aaron Rodgers' last season.
Maybe.
He has said it's going to be his last
season. Oh, I've said a lot of things that I didn't mean to.
Well, either way, in the third round this year, they drafted Drew Aller out of Penn State, who was kind of a darling of the 2024 college football season and then got hurt in 2025 and resulted in the firing of James Franklin in a just overall really bad Penn State season. But a guy who's probably quietly very good and is, I would say, will probably get a little bit of starter action when Aaron Rodgers needs a little bit of load management. But Aaron Rodgers was the QB17 last year. He was workable in two quarterback leagues. He was barely touchable in single quarterback leagues, and I'm not going to choose to endorse him in 2026 in any capacity. He's at least 7,000 years old at this point. At least that's probably what his ayahuasca gurus are telling him. And, you know, congrats on a Hall of Fame career, Aaron. Why are you still here?
No one really knows. But, I mean, if it's ever going to happen for a 42-year-old quarterback in the National Football League, he's got the stuff around him. They've added pieces to this offense on paper. This offense looks not awful. If he could play even a quarter of the Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in years past, there might be a streamable conversation for him on a week-to-week basis. Stream him against,
I mean, you
kind
of got to be a little bit specific by what you mean by years past there, because are we talking about, like, back to the Jets years?
No, we're not talking about Jets. He didn't play for the Jets.
That's also years past.
He played two snaps for the Jets. If he played a quarter of the Jets year, he would be on the field for a half of a snap, and he would lose four times as many legs. That doesn't make sense. No, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, I don't do math. I'm off the clock right now. I don't do math.
By the way, I got to say something. Right when you said four times as many legs, a spider came down from the ceiling and came right in front of me. And it was like really weird coincidence.
That's the secret, James.
Like, what?
I am the ayahuasca guru.
Because spiders have four times the legs of people. Anyway, we don't need to be talking about Aaron Rodgers anymore.
maybe mildly streamable going into the season. Talking about the running backs, this is one I've been thinking about pretty much all day. So we've now got Rico Dowdle, who comes over to join the incumbent Jaylen Warren. Both are highly efficient. Both are quite talented. Both were around 1,000 yards rushing last year on about 200 carries or so. They both can score touchdowns. This is either going to be one of the best running back groups in real-life football and the worst for fantasy, or they're going to be palatable. It's just whether they cannibalize each other, James, is the one thing that I just can't figure out. I don't see a clear-cut one guy over the other. They're both, in my opinion, pretty equal. What do you think?
I mean, in my straight-up breakdown of player versus player, I like Rico Dowdle a lot more than I like Jaylen Warren. But in my fantasy football breakdown, honestly, both of these guys are kinds of players who I love late in the season because they may not be sexy. They're probably not going to show up in big ways early in the season, but when it gets cold in November and December, and you need someone to fill in as a flex, and these guys just pound and pound and pound. There I go, talking about pounding again. And are able to make things happen to get you late season and playoff wins that you need. Both of these guys can consistently be there. And we saw that kind of in both of the types of seasons they have had. Jaylen Warren last year was not the clear-cut wide receiver one for the Steelers last year and really wasn't at the end either. But with that kind of tandem that Pittsburgh had last year, he was able to solidify himself with a role of being an efficient running back. Rico Dowdle, we've seen do the same thing, but with a little bit more, I think, of an air presence. So I think I don't expect the Steelers to be that much different in the way that they use their running backs from last year. I like Rico Dowdle quite a bit, but right now we're seeing in PPR Jaylen Warren going as the RB24 and Rico Dowdle as the RB32. I expect both of those to go much higher than that, and I'm seeing both of them going in the seventh. I'm not sure which one I would rather have, to be honest, but people are going to tell you it's Jaylen Warren. I think very highly of Rico Dowdle as well.
So. I'd also go with Rico, but I mean, take one of them. In the seventh round, are you kidding? Like, either one is a fine price right there, and they are honestly kind of undervalued for what they would be if the other one didn't exist. So if there's an injury and you guessed right, you flipped that coin and got it right, then you're sitting pretty. And I'd rather be sitting pretty with Rico Dowdle than sitting pretty with Jaylen Warren.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah. Wide receiver time.
And then... Then there's the receivers.
Then there's DK Metcalf.
You know, as clear cut as things are everywhere else in fantasy football, this is a little gross feeling.
I feel gross. Out on DK Metcalf. I'm not very interested in drafting him at all. He's going right now as the wide receiver 33, and even at that price, I'm not super interested with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball.
Yeah, and Michael Pittman is the wide receiver 38 as well. Like, neither of those are commanding much interest or volume or respect. And that's talking about Michael Pittman, a guy who is has been kind of a PPR darling, commanding a lot of targets over the course of the season. DK Metcalf, we saw last year, was kind of more of a downfield shot play threat, if anything at all, which, talk about one of the most disappointing players of 2025. That's DK Metcalf. But I'm seeing DK currently going in the eighth. I'm seeing Pittman currently going in the ninth. They're both ranked pretty closely together. I think that is a good indication of where people tend to think about the Steelers' passing game right now. Not so much about the players as it is that. And we saw that the Steelers invested a second-round pick into Jeremy Bernard from Alabama. A second-round wide receiver pick is often one you expect to step into a big role. And we would see him kind of learning under two veterans, two very different veterans in the NFL. Stu, I think you're going to join me in not drafting any Steelers wide receivers this year.
Okay, I will push back a little bit. I mean, Michael Pittman Jr., they went out and they traded for him from the Colts, and then they extended him. We think about what Aaron Rodgers at age 42 does well, and we think about the two wide receivers and the, as you said, very different skill sets that they have. DK Metcalf being downfield, Michael Pittman being more underneath, low yardage but high reception rate sort of player. And is Aaron Rodgers going to spend most of his time throwing out 10 yards or more? No, probably not. I think that there's quiet optimism. I'm not being super quiet about it, I guess, but quiet optimism that this organization values Michael Pittman. He fits the mold of, I think, what they're trying to do. And I think that he's going to return draft value and likely a lot more. I think he could very easily be a top 30 wide receiver. I won't get too insane, but he is still very talented. He's had some back injuries that has slowed him. He wasn't exactly the player he was coming out of USC. It was USC, wasn't it?
Yes,
if I can think back. Oh, gosh, my memory's incredible. He's not exactly what he was, but I think in PPR leagues especially, he will be a sneaky look there in the middle or the later middle rounds. I'm hesitantly and quietly pretty high on Michael Pittman Jr. in a Steelers uniform. I hate that he's in a Steelers uniform. I always like pity, but that's my piece on him. I think if you're looking for wide receivers that late, you could get a decent ceiling play out of him. And then the tight ends are not worth a conversation again, because tight ends are garbage outside of six people. And we're not talking about any of the teams that have those six people.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. Also worth barely noting, I think, the Steelers also had a fourth round wide receiver pick in Caden Wettjen, who, not that we expect him to do anything, just that he was drafted. So
congrats,
Stu. I think that's it.
It sure seems like it. I'm almost all the way through this Helles, because I really enjoy this. It's very, very good. Helles is rapidly becoming one of my more preferred styles of beer, and I'll finish this up, and then I gotta mow the grass. I'm hoping to get out and mow the grass here in the next couple of hours if the heat, you know, trails off a little bit, but the grass is looking bad, so I need to fix that. You can reach out to us, though. We are on Instagram. We are on X at FantasyFootBeer on both platforms. We also have the illustrious FantasyFootBeer.com, where you can look at blog posts. You can listen to the most recent episodes straight from the mind of fantasy expert James Kemp himself. And we're also taking beer requests. I am now out of Sturdy Shelter stuff, so if you want me to drink something in particular, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com is the place to do that. You can also ask us questions on any of those platforms, except for the website. I don't think there's anything there for that, unless there is. But
there is, I think.
Questionable. maybe. Just email us.
If you look, you might find it.
Just email us. And then it'll be anonymous. I won't even make fun of you. I won't call you out like Tracy Smith from Decatur, Iowa asks this question, you piece of absolute filth. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Is there a Decatur? What do you have against Tracy Smith, dude?
Let me look up Decatur, Iowa. I bet there is a Decatur. There's a Decatur City, Iowa. Its population was 175 in the year 2020. So if we account for COVID, it's probably around 120 right now.
Tracy Smith is a CBS News correspondent for CBS News Sunday Morning. You're making enemies in the media.
No,
Stu.
Does she live in Decatur or Decatur City? Technically,
I'd say probably not.
Probably not. I mean,
she does have a Wikipedia though.
She went to a high school in Wyoming. So,
well, it was in Wyoming, Ohio. So,
oh, Wyoming high school in Ohio. That's just that. Okay, that's.
That's just confusing.
That seems intentionally confusing, and I dislike everything about the state that high school is a part of, so that's really just par for the course.
Even Joe Burrow? You dislike Joe Burrow?
Is he from that state?
He is.
I thought he was from Louisiana.
No, he's from... Yeah, he was at Ohio State before he transferred to LSU.
I don't believe college football
exists. Because he kept getting
passed up. He was born in Iowa himself. What are you talking about? He was born in Ames, Iowa in 1996.
Oh, I should have gone to Iowa State. Anyway, we're getting way off track here.
That doesn't matter. It's the end of the episode anyway.
I'll bring us home here. Thank you, Stu, for another fantastic episode and for accommodating me needing to fight a storm here. It is still light out, so storm's not here yet. But thank you to all of our listeners. We appreciate all of you and all of the listens that you listen to us with. If you got opinions on the Bengals and the Steelers and your name is Tracy Smith, please call us out on CBS Sunday News and mention that Stu said some pretty terrible things about you.
I did call you a piece of filth, so I do apologize for that.
He did say that.
It's time for me to stop speaking and start listening.
And with that, for all of us here at Fantasy Flip Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Pixel the Cat and Indie the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night and good talking.